Okay. I now, thank you, Patty. I wanted to ask Amy to come up. So I'd like to just quickly introduce you. Amy is a wife to Peter for 33 years. Wow. retired math teacher and mother of three, Chris, Sarah, and Jenny. She lives in Lafayette. And she became a Christian at 14 through a high school group. She attends Mission Church, North Creek, and MVPC. And she is going to be speaking today to us on how love brings healing. Thank you.
Not exactly sure about microphones. Classroom has never had microphones like this. Well, welcome. Thank you all for coming. I have a clicker and I have a bad neck. It hasn't healed yet, so maybe I start with that. I have a bad neck, see? And I can turn a little bit. It's like a car crash victim kind of neck. So I'm still working on healing myself. There's definitely things in my life that have not yet been healed. Example, neck. But I do really feel like I have a message about healing that God wanted you to hear. So we'll get started. And I'm pointing it that way, but I don't know if it's that way or that way, Quinn. So good morning, everyone. So I have a prayer for us to get started. My prayer is this one, so please pray with me. As I'm here on this platform, Lord, may I speak what you want these beloved women need to hear. Sorry, I'm gonna get settled for a moment here. May the words that you've given me plant seeds. May your Holy Spirit water the seeds. And may our hearts be better for the time we spend this morning leaning into your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, I didn't feel shaky when I was reading this out loud to myself earlier this morning. I was like, oh, I'm fine. So it's just kind of catching me off guard right here. So this book, it's just such a red book, right? It's red. It says love on it. It says seven laws. And to be honest, I think it's taking us somewhere. So this will build on what the previous women have brought you this morning, in previous mornings. So let me get started here today. The verse card, thank you to Kim for making the verse cards. I don't see her here today, but he said to her, he being Jesus, daughter. And do you see how I put a blank in the verse here? But your card doesn't have a blank. And so I want you to think about that in the Bible, he called her daughter. He didn't know, well, of course he knew her name, but he called her daughter because she needed a new reputation in standing in church. She had been removed from church because when he said this to her, she was the bleeding woman and she was pretty much excommunicated out of the community because of her blood. She was considered unclean, but he called her daughter. And just that one word, he restores from God, the Messiah, giving her new standing and redeemed standing with him, and therefore the whole community likewise. Your faith has healed you. The blank is so that you could see your name in that blank, or your daughter's name in that blank, or your mother's name in that blank. Any woman that you know who's hurting, you can pray this prayer for her in that blank. Put her name, put your own name. These are personal verses. He made it personal for her, but we likewise get to be that person. So that's my overall message to you today, where we're going with this. So Jesus said that. It's recorded in Mark 5:34. So that's how it. And I don't know if you know of the ministry Moms in Prayer, but many of you may. I've been attending one for the last couple of years, and this is what we do. We take verses from the Bible, and we put our children's names in the Bible, or friends, or family, whoever. We put the names of the people calling on the word to be activated in heaven, we're speaking language of heaven by using the verses. Does that seem? So this is a tool, so a way in. All right, I'm going to get silly here to honor Penny. Here we go. Oh, did I get it? No? There's that one. Oh, I'm using the wrong one. Ha, huh? See, this is where you get too many devices. Okay, what did prehistoric doctors heal? Dinosaurs. Ah, ha, ha. So as you're taping that one more Band-Aid on your kid's knee, there you go, that's a dinosaur. And, you know, usually when people are wounded, we think of, oh, they need some first aid. Their body is a little bit hurt. And those are the safe, easy things to think about, right? Is just the first aid kind. But when a person needs healing, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have a small little wound. They might be really sick, like Sheila Rose's story. We've heard that several times, and Liz brought that up this morning. And we also think maybe just of the first aid part, that's the easiest part, but this morning we're going to go a little deeper than that, because these are not the only ways we can get hurt. It's just like little sores. Wait, where did it go? Am I doing the right thing here? Okay. So on the sorry, I'm just jumping around. I'm still not settled. I can see that. But today we're going to talk about the path where we've been. We've talked about commitment. Love is a commitment. We've talked about sacrifices, that showing people love may mean and often does require sacrifice of time or money or talent on our part to be more loving. We would give up anything, right, to show our kids perhaps or our families. Conquering fear, we have to do that. We have to speak the truth in love, but kindly. And last week we got to hear how Alicia was mentioning grace and how that's part of love too. We can't love without grace, but we also need so much grace ourselves that we can't manufacture our own grace. We need to go to God for his grace so we can give it to other people. We are so needy, right? So offering grace gets us ready to deal with pain in our own lives, and it also gives us that moment of, I can't do all of this. I can't be fearless. I can't give grace. I can't love sacrificially. I don't want to. Like, there's all kinds of woundedness in just the comments I'm saying right there. Do you hear them? I'm limited. I'm angry. I'm hurt. Hurt on the inside. And these are the places where we cry out to God, where there's disease, where there's death in the family, where there's failure in a person that you know or yourself. Disease, death, and failure. Tim Keller says this is when we discover who our God is and maybe who some of our idols are or what our idols may be. So who is God at these times? The disease, the death, the failure. Today we're going to talk about spiritual and emotional wounds on that path, and we're going to spend some time looking at sin. How often do we miss the mark? That's all sin means. It's an archery term, like you miss the target. And how often we're supposed to be somewhere else on the path, not where we are. And then who we're meant to worship and love and serve while we're on the path. We're off the path. How quickly can we recognize that we need to get back to the path of righteousness? So one thing that I was looking at in his book was he offered some ideas on the root of the hurt. Now, this can be easier to see in other people, the root of their hurt. Oh, I can see where the root starts for you. But how about us, you know, ourselves? That's harder work, and we don't all want to look there. Many of us don't want to talk about these things. Many of us just want to move through the unpleasant feelings or maybe the deserty kind of spiritual times as quickly as possible. And we may comfort our children this way too, moving them through their feelings and without noting how important the moment is, the root of the problem. The root might be physical, like a disease or an accident or car crash neck or whatever. It might be financial, you're in need right now and it's just really hurting. It might be emotional, it might be years-long emotional hurts. Maybe the original family you came from didn't work out so well. Maybe they taught you things that weren't of God. Maybe that you're living with a lot of root hurt there. And then, of course, there's the spiritual limitedness that we have. We have a little bit, but we don't have enough. So we're always going to have some kind of need there. We might actually feel hurt by God not being present. We say, "Oh, you're not here. Where are you?" You know, that kind of thing. But we're not all taught what to do with all these recurring negative feelings or how to talk about these things. And today we get some guidance in this area, this big area. So in the book, Seven Laws of Love, Dave Willis talks about how our better relationships require vulnerability. That means we are not guarded. We're true to them, or we're our best selves with them. But those relationships will suffer if we don't have that vulnerability and we're not really seeing how our actions are right, are not with God. When our actions and hearts aren't right with God, then we can't be right with other people. And so we'll dwell here this morning and find the path. What did Jesus say about love and healing? He said other things beside the daughter, you know, may your faith go in faith, right? That one. But he also said, only those who are sick need a physician, sinners who recognize their sin and humbly seek forgiveness. So only those who are sick need a physician. And he's the great physician, right? The sinners who recognize their sin and humbly seek forgiveness. So another analogy is we've all been sunburnt in the past. And we may incur that a lot in California, but wounds to the heart are like having a sunburn to the skin. And this is one of Dave Willis's analogies. In those moments of unpleasant feelings and dry spiritual days, when we feel far from God, we have a wounded heart. Two of the ways our hearts become wounded are when we are around other people's sin, but also when we personally have made decisions based on temptations and lies and bring sin into our lives. Dave Willis refers to our past rejections and humiliations as sunburns to the heart, and saying that wounds from our past can create new wounds in the present, much like a sunburn from days ago can still be painful to the touch. Triggers are what these situations are commonly called these days. So we've all heard of triggers. So what do you do? So let's just be clear. As humans, we have a past, and as Christians, we give our life to Jesus to walk with him in his ways going forward into the future. But we may have a long way to go before we're like him. Someone touches our sunburn, and we yell, "Ouch," and decide that we can be mad at that person because they were so careless. That's their ignorance. Or that they did it on purpose. That's their evil nature. And we may have this position with people for years before we see ourselves in this situation. We get mad and justify and rationalize our behavior. I do this. We may overreact. We may try to control others and realize and control how they do their life, but well beyond their stage of development. So for a child, of course, you're going to control where they walk, but as a teenager, that's not a good idea. And so you have to change how you parent. And this also means we can't hold bitterness, because that just changes into deeper anger and resentment. And yet I do that. I have done that because I can't forgive the person. We can't forgive. We may flee into isolation. Some people like to go into eating and pick a great chocolate. I do that. Some into drinking. Some do drugs to avoid these feelings. Some do video games. Some do pornography. Some run to affairs. But all of these things are not on the path with Jesus. And we may do them anyway because of the wounds and the sin and the healing we have not yet received for that wound. So here's my family. Part of my family. It's not the whole family. In this picture of my family from, oh, it's not going, see, too many devices, sorry. So that was the roots, yeah. Shoot. So you can see the roots. Yep. The physical, the financial, emotional, spiritual. And then we require some vulnerability. See, I need a second class at school. I had another group came in afterwards, and I could clean all this up and look great. But you guys are my one and only, so you get this. So this is the better ones. We require vulnerability. And then wounds to the heart. Yeah. But our hearts can be that wounded, right? And that's just a few minutes in the sun. That's probably not even an entire hour or day, right? That's just, but think about how quickly we get hurt in our heart. And then we run around life with broken hearts. And we need healing. And so here's the family. Okay, now I'm caught up. Like I said, it's part of my family. My husband's taking the picture, and Jenny's not born yet. So, all right, in this picture is my family 16 years ago. You see beautiful family. You see baby Sarah, she's 17 now, and our son Chris, who is probably 10. And you see me, you see my mom and her husband Doug. What you don't see, that's what I'm going to tell you about. You don't see is the pain and bitterness I carried toward my stepdad for marrying my mom. What you don't see is the infertility struggles I endured before and after having Chris. You get a sense of it by seeing how different they are in ages. But what you don't see is a struggle I had with idols, working hard to be the best in my career, or the chronic back pain that I carried, or the debilitating fear of man and women, especially people my own age, and especially people who are older than I am. So that meant teaching worked, right? Because I was teaching school of kids. What you don't see also is people pleasing, and you don't see is the condemnation that would wrap itself around my mind and heart until I would recognize that I was experiencing like that gnashing of teeth darkness in my soul. I was tangled up. But if you look at that picture, none of that is visible. So that's what I was like. And then God stepped in. And I learned to forgive my stepdad because he showed he could be a good grandfather to my son, Chris. And I had to wait years and go through many IVF steps and face lots of failure with that because none of our children came through that path. These kids came on their own when God sent them. And I'm happy for it because now they're 26, 17, and 15. And I had my last child at 44. Who does that except for God, right? No one plans that family, right? But I was infertile most of my adult life. And so through that, he taught me patience. He taught me to listen and wait. But I also had many other problems, like I've shared with you. So I feared my peers and those older than me in a mighty way, and then God healed me of fear of speaking in front of people by giving me a voice. And look at this. Look at what I can do now, right? Like, I would have been anywhere but up here before he healed me of that. It took years, but he healed my back pain after years of treatment and finally getting me to a person who understood what was going on for me, and then I got better. I don't do roller coasters, and I don't carry things that are too heavy than more than a laundry basket, so I'm in a little bumper lane here, but I'm good. Massive healing. Okay, here's the next picture. Let's see. There we go. So here's her story again, daughter, right? The condemnation issue for me was the worst because I couldn't articulate what it was exactly. And it, looking back on it, it was like a disease that would flare up and it would ruin many, many days. And I'd search and search the scriptures until he finally answered me so completely that I know it was his touch that healed me. So I said all of that in about three sentences, but it took me like 35 years to realize I could name it condemnation. And then in the Bible, it says, for those, There's no condemnation in Christ for those who love, who are, help me. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I think that's it. And it's Romans 8:1. And I read that and I'm like, I think that's what it is. And I don't experience this freedom of there is no condemnation because I know I have that. So God, I'm going to take you at your word. I've got something messed up in my head or my heart. Something's not right here. And I read books about what it meant to be in Christ. I went really after that, because if I'm in Christ, then am I in or am I out? You know, there was a whole backstory to this. So I'm giving the short version, but it was transformational to go to the scriptures and finally get answers for this. I was like her. I was that woman bleeding for 12 years of this terrible thing that was in me, this condemnation thing. And I saw my need and her need. And she and I were the same person. And then I could visualize myself in the crowd, walking in her body even, trying to get to Jesus, get through all the people. All I need to do is touch his tassel. He doesn't even have to know I'm here, kind of thinking. And yet, he stops and he's like, whoa, somebody touched me. And Peter, of course, says, of course they're touching you. There's 1,000 people around you. He's like, no, somebody really wanted to touch me, right? That's her story. But you can do that too. I just did that. And I can tell you that was what unlocked it for me, was that I had to seek him harder than the pain I was in with this thing. I didn't have to solve the thing. I had to seek Jesus harder so he could enter into that pain. And I didn't know that you had to do that. So now that I know, I'm like, oh, well, I can go tell everyone about this. So I'm like that lady by the well. Hey, guess what? I can tell you a story. So I went over her story again and again. I became that woman. My problems did cause me to spend every last penny on mental health. I spent thousands in counseling offices about condemnation. But that's not where Jesus was. He wanted me to seek him personally. I couldn't get well without him. I needed the Lord's touch, and he touched me, and he can do it for you too. Your faith will lead you to him, and he will make you well. And he's always teaching, leading, guiding, and healing. His way is love, his way is right, and his way is in the Bible. So I tell you, dear sisters, mothers, and daughters, whatever your troubles in this life, God's not done with you yet. He is really real. He wants to heal you. He needs you to take him seriously. He will give you the power to overcome the issue itself and equip you to live life abundantly. And he will address your hurts so that you are healed. And then by serving him, you'll help others with similar issues. Your mess, my mess, will become your message. This is my message today, right? That he's the one. He's the Savior. Our Lord is love. He's the creator of love. He's the source of love. He is grace. He is truth. He's commitment. He's faithful. He can conquer all afflictions. I love that song. Right? I'll share it with you in just a minute. So how do you get started to get past this, right? The need. Going after him. We're especially responsible to recognize our need, that we're poor in spirit. That's the need we have. We have to recognize it. We have to be sobered up to our own need of heal my sin, Lord. Heal how I'm missing the mark. Heal how I'm off the path. We are responsible for that. We're responsible to lean into his presence and humbly ask for his help. But he brings the rest, everything else that's needed. So one thing to do, we can do, is we can go worship the Lord. We can do this in our cars. Play music in the car that's worship music. Go to church, worship him there. Listen to music in your homes. The music is the music that unlocks your your guardedness, like, oh, I didn't realize there's nothing left for me to offer you except for a hallelujah. There's a song that's sung recently about that. You can bow down in your home and pray. You can lift up your hands to pray. You can lift up your hands to sing. I often sing like this because I want him touching me, but I also want to reach out. And I often think of it like kindergarten, right? When the teacher's saying, who wants to help with whatever? And the kids are all like, me, me, me. I want to be me, 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 God, me, me, me. So that's why hands up. Me, me, me. I need you to see me. I want to see you too. Me. I'm here with you. Be that child again. So worshiping with hands up really changes our position too. If you don't put your hands up because you're thinking, oh, everyone around me will think I'm weird. Right there, you know, there's an idol there speaking, or a voice that's not of God speaking to you, because they're saying, oh, your pride is more important than your praise. Huh. Anyway, there's a song by David Crowder I've been listening to all week, and it's not because I've had it on the radio. It keeps coming in my head. Does anybody else get a song stuck in their head, right? And I'm not going to sing it to you. I'm not a singer. But He Loves Us is the title of the song, Oh, How He Loves Us. Jesus is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane, and I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and his mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of all these afflictions because they're eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affection is for me, and oh, how he loves us. Wow, that's just one part of the song. It's a great song. So today I'm going to wrap up. Ask yourself honestly, what personal wounds do you have? What need for healing do you have? Do you see yourself needing the healer? Do you see that Jesus is the healer? And what is the root of your need? And maybe, just maybe, he knows how to do that healing for you. So, let's see. Beside worship and praise, you can go to the Bible. And in it with your children or for yourself, you can go there to read. If you haven't yet, start with a gospel, like the Gospel of John. Or go to the proverb of the day. Today's the 16th. You could read the 16th proverb or the 16th psalm. I like the story of Daniel for children at like fifth grade. They love it because it's got everything, intrigue, danger, wow factor, and definitely God's moving in that story. Find verses that shake you to your core or soothe you in your wounded heart. For your children, teach them Psalm 23 till they can say it every night going to bed. Teach them from at the dinner table. Have a devotional. I have a friend who brings out a family devotional, and they have a God talk at the dinner table. Take scripture and put your name in it, like I said earlier. Put your family members' names in it. But remember to ask for the healing. The man who was by the pool, and he had been there 38 years, had never actually asked for healing. He just sat there hoping to get it. And then we wait on him. We would wait on the Lord. Kind of going a little quicker here, because I had a lot more to say. But we need to dwell on his teaching you new things instead of dwelling on the drama that we live in. He can't show you what he wants you to know unless you're willing to take your eyes off your pain and look for him in the scriptures and in his creation, and same for our children. So focus on the eyes of Jesus. This line, The Witch in the Wardrobe, is a great thing to read for kids, with kids, watch the movies. It's easy to know that the lion is Jesus and the witch is evil. And then this is the tricky thing that came when I was walking recently, and God told me to put this in. I don't know why, but somebody in here needs this, is that the wardrobe is the Bible. And if you don't come to the wardrobe with some wonder and curiosity and what's in this book, then you'll just get the wardrobe like the older children did. But Lucy, she came to the wardrobe, and she was in full of wonder and curiosity, And she got to go in first to the Narnia land, land of Narnia. She got to go in and tell others about it, and they didn't believe her. But I'm telling you, I've been Lucy now. I've been there. I've been to the land of Narnia with Jesus, and he healed me, and you can be healed too. You just have to go to the source with that sense of wonder, and he will get you all set up. So, anyway, if I believe everything he says, if I believe God's taking, if I take him at his word and he meets everything in that Bible, then there's a lot to know about his point of view. And the amazing thing is, if you let him work on you, he will show you things you've never seen before. And healing your wounds is only part of the plan. He is the Prince of Peace. He's holding you in his everlasting arms right now. He weeps over your tragedies. He's not distant. He's near. He's calm in the storm. He heals with words and with touch. And then the last thing I want you to think about is Joyce Meyer says, complain and remain, or praise and be raised. And she makes the point, do you want to be healed? He's waiting to meet you. Lord, I'm just going to close with a prayer here. Thank you for loving us so much and healing our hearts, minds, bodies, and spirits. Thank you for healing our wounds. By your wounds, we are healed. We praise you and close with Alleluia to the Lord and Shalom, Shalom to you, my fellow travelers. Amen.